the Corn Gold. It's a remarkable piece in the variety it has. And I read somewhere that you said, if I hadn't played a piece by a composer, I have to find an opening somewhere. So when did you first play the Corn Gold?
I started playing the Corn Gold actually quite a while ago. It hasn't been something I've played every season because it's not every season that an orchestra asks me to do it, but I try to bring it back as often as possible. It's really a piece that an orchestra has to be interested in because it takes such commitment from the orchestra. There are a lot of solos within the sections, and there are divisis as well, which means that part of the section will play while another part either plays something else or trades off. And it's really a piece of big chamber music that takes a lot of coordination, but it's so fun to play, and it's really beautiful that you just get swept up in it, even as a performer, and I think especially as a listener.
As a listener, there seemed to be such variety. The first movement is kind of exploratory. The second movement is so soft. And the third movement is so joyful with that jig. I was thinking of the violin as a character. How do you approach this kind of work, or this work in particular?
That's a good question. I think I follow the flow of the music in the violin line, in the solo line, but then also the way the orchestra interacts with the solo sort of changes the direction sometimes. So it's a very linear work in the sense that the harmonies are all kind of spread into the melody in some way, and these melodies interact with each other. Of course, the orchestra has more harmony that it's sustaining than the solo violin does, but it is kind of a character, but it is also very much in the middle of the orchestra, so it's integral in what everyone else is doing. And I just approach it as this beautiful expressive work that has a lot of playfulness to it, a lot of guts, like it asserts itself in many different ways throughout the performance from different musicians. And it also has a delicacy that can be just sort of stretched out when you arrive at it. When you arrive at one of those moments, you really can take your time with it, and then it zings off into something else. So that's a fun thing to play with day after day and to experiment with interpretively.
I was going to ask, is there any particular part that was a challenge or that you play with more than any other part?
There's a lot of freedom written into the music, so at certain parts of the melody where it just seems to hover and it stretches out, especially in the second movement, there are these high melodies in the violin that aren't necessarily shouted out. They're more floating above even the moment. It's not really above the orchestra. We're all in it together, you know, but it's just kind of floating above the moment as you're listening. And those, there are a lot of indications as to where to go faster and slower and what to hold. But in a way, it's just the way the music flits from one note to the next. And when you get that in your system, you realize, oh, that's the rhythm that particular part has. And then you can start stretching it around.
It's very cinematic, which is not surprising since Corn Gold did write for the movies. And in fact, there are four film themes woven into the concerto. Do you think about the movie at all, or have you seen any of the movies?
I've watched the movies that are quoted in this concerto, and I've tried to find the quotes, but I get so caught up in the movies that I forget to listen for those particular things. And that's a sign of a great film composer, that you're aware of the beautiful music, but you're not necessarily following that with the front of your mind. You know, it enhances the film. And also, it's very difficult to write as a film composer because you need to write something that people can play almost immediately because there's not much rehearsal time. You also need to write something that's going to bring home the emotion of a particular scene at a particular moment. And you have to stay true to your own musicality as well. So I think Corn Gold does a great job at that. There's one moment, there's a tutti in the third movement that always reminds me of a ship sort of plowing through waves, and you know, there's foam splattering all over, and you can just kind of hear the ship cresting and going into the valleys of the waves, and I'm curious to see if that part is in any of his movies that he scored as a nautical moment, because it just sounds so absolutely that way to me.
That's great. Well, it is ingenious, because I guess he figured when people stopped watching his movies, he could use these themes in music that people would hear again and again. So it was a good idea.
He didn't start as a film composer, so it makes sense that he would experiment with his own music in other directions and in other venues for those particular themes.
I just wanted to go back for a second to the second movement, because I read that sometimes it's played with a mute.
There are some moments that have a mute on them. The orchestra is muted. I try to use the mute where it's indicated. So I do use it. But the thing is, when playing with an orchestra as a soloist, there are different types of sounds you can get from mutes. Some of them just sort of faintly change the volume. Some of them change the core of the sound. It just depends on your instrument and which mute you're using.
Can you describe what a mute is for a violin? Because I'm thinking of the mute that you would use in a trumpet or a horn, and it's clearly not that.
Right. So in a brass instrument, you are blocking the airflow. So you're blocking what vibrates, from what I understand and what it looks like to me. You know, you're blocking the thing that vibrates the air that makes volume. And on violin or any stringed instrument, the thing that transfers the vibrations of the strings into the air inside the instrument is the bridge. So the strings are tightly suspended on the bridge, and the bridge is tightly against the top of the violin. So through the bridge, then the top of the violin can vibrate. And inside the violin, there's a little post called the sound post, which helps the sound travel from the top to the back of the instrument, and then you have the vibrations inside the instrument, and it also comes out of the instrument. It also works on the air around it. So if you get to the core of that thing that starts those vibrations, you can create a muted sound. So you put a mute on a bridge. It's like a little rubber or sometimes metal or wood device that clamps onto the bridge, either by way of the strings right behind the bridge, and then it contacts the bridge, which is what I have. It clamps over the top, but mainly it is flat against the back of the bridge, so it blocks the vibrations of the bridge a little bit. Or you have ones that, by clamping on the top, stop the vibrations. So.
And can you adjust it while you're playing?
It's hard, because when you play, you use both hands. So ideally, you have a rest before you have to put the mute on, or else you have to do something superhuman.